yell in your ear. This is September 20th, 2007. We're in the home of Betty and Donald Mayhew. We're going to be interviewing them. I am Joan Weaver, and also with me is Rosetta Grath of the Kinsley Library. Maybe you can tell us. We'd like to know a little bit how, I mean, you can start with how you came here, but also his family and how you came to this area.
You tell him.
Go ahead.
Get over here. Mm. Tell him when your family came.
I'm going to let you pass this back and forth.
My grandfather came to here in 1885 from Nebraska City, Nebraska, and homesteaded across the road from here, across the road east. And so we've been here ever since.
Who came with your grandfather?
He brought the whole family.
And what was that? How many children?
Well, it was his wife and his father-in-law and about three boys and four girls. And About three wagons, three covered wagons, what they brought down. And I don't know how long it took them, but they'd probably be from the southeast corner of Nebraska, Nebraska City.
Do you know why they left Nebraska?
Come down for free land.
And what was his name?
Edward E.F. Mayhew. This grandma, I guess.
And then the children's name?
Well, Dad's name was Frank Mayhew, and Alan Mayhew, and another of their brothers, he died. And there was Mabel. Mabel was one of them, and I can't think of the name.
Jesse. Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse was another one of the daughters, and Mamie, and I can't remember what what Deb's mother's name was. I never did know her, never did see her. So, but they all of them, but the last one, the youngest one, Mamie was born down here. The rest of them was all born up in Nebraska. And
how much land did they get when they came?
160 acres. And then the next one north was a tree claim, another 160 acres.
And what is a tree claim?
You had to plant 10 acres of trees to get a quarter of land. 160 acres.
So somebody had already planted the trees, or he agreed to?
Well, somebody had started it, but then they relinquished it, and he bought theirs, and the kids had to finish planting the trees, and that was a way of getting another quarter of ground, because there was no trees here. And
so did they build a sod house, or did they just live in the covered wagon?
No. Well, it lived in a covered wagon for a while, and then they built a wooden house, whatever was the legal size. It had to be about at least, I think, 12 by 14 or 16 feet, something like that.
Many people, I hope so.
And they built a sod barn. Yeah, they brought some livestock with them, and I don't know what it was pretty hard getting started because there wasn't any trees for posts, you know, or for fences, but I don't know what to tell you about,
You remember any of the stories that you heard about what life was like then?
My grandfather died when I, and mother went back in 1928 and 29. I wasn't very old then. I was about 8 or 9 years old. I don't remember what they, much about them. And
did your father tell you what it was like growing up?
Well, he didn't talk too much about it. Times were pretty rough, I guess, and he didn't really like to remember it, I think.
Okay, he became a farmer. What about the other children, his brothers and sisters? Did they stay on the farm or go leave as soon as possible?
Well, Alan Mayhew, he lives 3 miles north of here, and he stayed there until he, as long as he lived, and Jesse stayed here. Mabel, they left and went to California, and the youngest girl, Mamie, she died in 1927, I think, and Winnie, that was Dad's mother, another one of Winnie, one of the older ones, and they lived down by Mullenville, I believe, somewhere off in there, and they pretty well scattered around.
Did they go to school here?
Yeah, they went to a little country school, which was up here on the Belfry Road, called Lakeview, and they all went to school there, and they didn't have a high school here until way later, until after all of them were grown, so country school is all they had.
How did they get to school?
Dad drove a wagon or buggy, and the kids all went over there, which was a mile east and 2 miles north. And well, he was only postmaster for a few months.
Here, you mean
Tuesday? No, at the home. He was appointed. Well, it's on a list of postmasters. Here, he's one of them.
What did they call it? What was the?
I could get this paper and show you. he didn't stay postmaster very long. It paid a little, but people come to get their mail was such a nuisance, them coming in and they couldn't get any work done, that he just quit doing it, let somebody else do it. I'll get the paper and they'd be on record over there for kids, because somebody from Kinsley gave me the list of postmasters.
So how did you meet somebody from Truesdale area when you were in Salina?
We met at K-State. He was in college at K-State, and I went for 2 years. I had a 4-H club scholarship, and that's where we met.
And then, did you both graduate or not?
No, neither one of us. He lacked a year, but he had to come. It was during the war, and he had to come home and help his dad farm. That's the reason he didn't go to service.
And then you came home with him?
No, we were married in 1941. I was in school down in Manhattan in 39 and 40. But I graduated from Salina. And I tell you what, when we got married, he said, "Now we will have electricity this fall." I thought, well, I could stand to use kerosene lamps for a few months. Well, they froze a copper wire. We didn't have electricity for 7 years.
So you got electricity what year?
7 years after 41.
48?
Yeah. 48. And I had
because of the war.
On account of the war. They froze the copper wire. So I had to pump water and carry it in the house and use kerosene lamps. And I had always had electricity at Salina. We lived on a farm, but we had electricity. I told him one time, if I'd have known that was going to happen, I don't know whether I'd have got married or not.
Well, you know, that was quite an adjustment.
It really was an adjustment for me.
And you had an ice box rather than a refrigerator. Or did you have a propane refrigerator?
No. No, just an ice box. Ice box.
Did they still deliver the ice that late, or did you have to?
No, we weren't married too many years, and we got a Servel gas refrigerator. But it wasn't easy. I had my first two kids without electricity.
And here at the home?
Mm-hmm. We lived across the road.
Yeah, but they were born in
yeah.
the home.
Mm-hmm.
Did a doctor come?
Although they weren't born in the home. Our three children were born at Larned. Mm-hmm.
How about you? Were you born in the home?
I don't know. I think so. I think this old house over here we don't have torn down yet. I think that was it.
Your dad was a postmaster, probably for a little extra money. Was there anything else he did besides, or your grandfather, in order to make a living out here rather than just farming?
No, that's all.
And do they raise cattle?
Yeah, and
hogs.
Yeah, and had chickens and chicken. Garden stuff.
And then their crops were corn?
Corn and wheat. I don't know when Truesdale was started then. You might probably have that on record somewhere, don't you?
Yes. It was when the railroad
came. Walter Truesdale started it. He was from Newton.
What do you remember about Truesdale?
There's not much there.
When you were a boy, there was.
Well, when you were a boy, there was, though.
Well, there was three grain elevators and two grocery stores, bank, barber shop, drug store, and hardware store, and blacksmith shop, and the post office was in the grocery store, and there was a hotel and a blacksmith shop and a garage repair shop, lumber yard, Lindis Lumber Company, and of course the railroad station.
And I guess a place where you ship cattle in. And
yeah, it was a stock yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lindis Lumber Company at Belpre, too. They moved, when they quit at Truesdale, they hauled everything up to Belpre, and then pretty soon it didn't last either.
But yes.
Said one time, they had what I call a one-elephant circus came to Truesdale, and it was a... was still, my grandmother's still alive, so it was before 1928, and they set up a tent behind the hotel, and for the animals, they did have one elephant, and not much else, and Dad took my grandmother down, and because she was in a wheelchair, so she couldn't go in, so they raised up the one side of the tent and drove the car in far enough that she could watch the circus.
Handicapped accessible.
Yeah.
And did you go to the circus then?
Yeah, I saw it. And of course, I didn't know whether it was good or not because it was the first circus I ever saw, so I suppose it was all right.
They had the clowns and the acrobats. And
I don't remember that.
Remember the elephant?
Yeah. Had it come in on the train, and I don't know where it went from Truesdale to some of the other towns, I guess.
Did you ever have a revival meeting or anything like that in Truesdale?
Well, they used to have a traveling...
preacher?
Well, I don't know, the preacher, Bibby's from Larned, come down every year with a entertainment of some sort that they set up between the blacksmith shop and the garage. And but as far as it was just some plays, and Bobby was a fellow that traveled all over the state for doing that. His location was Larned.
All 12 years.
Yeah.
And graduated and then went to K-State. What were you majoring in there before the war broke out? Was it agriculture?
Yeah, I guess kind of like agriculture, I guess. And kind of a general course. Betty and I both graduated from high school in 1936, which was at Truesdale was the largest class they'd ever had. It was 16. And I think about 8 of them are still living.
Did you go on a senior trip? Mr. Parker went on a senior trip.
Yeah, we went down to Freedom, Oklahoma to the Bat Caves.
You got to go to Carlsbad.
Yeah, I'd been to Colorado for summer vacation. And before that, Grandpa and Grandma went to on train trip to Yellowstone Park. They said they had those organized trips, and Yellowstone Park, they went through the park about a 3-day or 4-day trip with the coaches with horses and stuff, and camped out as going through the park. And on the way, I guess then they went on to California to the beach somewhere before they came back. But, and then the year after we graduated, 1937, folks took us to Yellowstone Park, and
how did farmers get away to go on vacation?
Well, it's a long time between rains, and if your work was caught up, by you could take off for, you know, a week or 10 days.
What were your chores?
No, just help out on the farm. Yeah, it was 1927 when they got the first tractor, a steel wheel tractor.
So you helped with the thrashing of the wheat, and did you run the thrasher, or did you?
I helped run the tractor pulling the combine, And then later on, I run the combine. Later years.
Did you have milk cows?
We had a few, not a whole lot. Most everybody had their own milk cows, so milk wasn't very profitable.
And you had a few chickens. Did you have turkeys and ducks?
No, just chickens and cows and a few horses until they got enough machinery that they got rid of the horses.
Did you grow up riding the horses?
No, we never had any riding horses.
So that's what you remember is working, right? Working on the farm?
Yeah, having fun.
How did you have fun?
Working.
Working? Working was fun.
Wasn't much else to do.
Go to church on Sunday?
No, we didn't attend church very much. Once in a great while.
But you would have gone to Truesdale
Methodist
Church.
Yeah.
So what was the entertainment? Were there picnics or school activities? Or?
Yeah, once in a while, just visiting with the neighbors, mainly.
We always had a telephone. Always had a telephone. It was one of those on the wall with the ringer, you know.
Mm-hmm. You 15 or 16 on the line, wasn't it?
Yeah. In the 50s, I guess it was, there was a family that lived up the road here a ways. It was on our line. We must have had six or eight families on our telephone line, and they had a bunch of kids. They had a telephone upstairs and a telephone downstairs. The kids would get on the telephone upstairs and downstairs and talk, and we couldn't get the line to call anybody. One day I butted in when one of them was talking, and I said, if you would excuse me, I would like to make a telephone call. This one girl says, okay, but by the time I get the dishes done, you better be off this telephone. So it was kind of hard to get the telephone when you really needed to make a telephone call.
So, when you came from Salina to the farm, did you have water in the house, running water, or did you have to carry it?
I had to carry it in. I had to pump it at a pump and carry it in the house.
Running water as if she ran the wood.
Right.
So how did you do the wash?
Well, we had an old Maytag washing machine with an engine on it, and it was set outside, and I had to pump water and carry it in and heat it on the stove and carry it out and put it in the washing machine. And we had grandparents had lived there, and they had a Delco plant, so we had a bathroom that had a tub in it. You could put water in it, and it would run out, but you had to pump the water and carry it in. And I pumped and carried water and heated it and for our baths. When we had hired men in the summertime, I wanted them to take a bath every night, so I carried water in and had it heated for them when they got done. I carried a lot of water in the house.
That's heavy work. Water's heavy.
Yeah, it is.
Did your kitchen sink have a pump?
No. Well, I carried it all in from the pump quite a ways from the house.
Yeah, well, it's farther than from here out to your car.
Yeah.
You're real
saving on
water.
It wasn't easy for seven years. It wasn't easy.
No. And how many children did you have by then?
I had two before we got electricity. Washed a lot of diapers by hand and,
oh,
and dried them on a clothes rack.
Mm-hmm.
wasn't easy.
She didn't know what was coming, didn't it? So you wrote for the Truesdale News for years, right? That was in
over 60 years. I just quit 2 years ago.
Now that was in the Kinsley paper. Was it in the Lewis paper too?
I used to write for Lewis and Kinsley, Larned, and Pratt.
Oh my! The same article, but in each.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it dwindled down to just Kinsley. But I wrote for the Kinsley paper for over 60 years.
So you're the voice of Truesdale.
Well, I was. Yeah. The reason I kept writing it that long was because the people that moved away from here said, "Betty, don't quit writing the news, because that's the only way I have of keeping track of the community. You know, the births and deaths and what was going on in the community." So that kind of kept me going.
Are there any stories that you wrote that stick out in your mind that were, you know, events or things that happened that were either really sad or really happy or really something?
There were a lot of them, but I can't name them right now. Just everything that anybody did, it was in the paper.
And did you call the people up, or did they call you?
No, people weren't very good about calling me. I had a list, and I called everybody in and got their news, and I spent every Sunday evening and Monday morning getting the news ready to go to the paper.
And that was a lot of work, too.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. Yeah, I got the paper free.
Oh, good. Well, they didn't pay you.
Yeah, they paid me some. They started out paying me so much an inch. That was when I was writing for several papers. And then the Kinsley paper paid me so much a month. And one reason that I quit was because he called me and said, "We're not going to pay you anymore except 25 cents an inch." And I said, "In that case, I'm quitting," because I said, "I won't write it for 25 cents an inch." I said, "It's not worth my time." So that's the reason I quit.
The new editor has different priorities.
The Kinsley paper is not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
Now, we had the Kinsley Mercury and we had the Kinsley Graphic. Was it in both papers?
No, it was in the Kinsley Mercury.
Mm-hmm. And I look at those old papers and I see Truesdale and looking for something. Did you make a scrapbook of all your articles or anything?
No, I used to clip them out and I kept a lot of them. I expect I've probably got them stuck away someplace, but I got tired of doing that and I didn't keep them anymore. I kept a lot of the weddings and deaths and things like that of different people in the community.
That would be quite a treasure to have. Although we could go through and do it. Sorry, because we have them all on microfilm.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We could go through and copy.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have made a scrapbook of them, but.
And then we would need somebody to read it and make an index for it.
Right.
Well, you were busy hauling water.
Well, when my children were small, in 4-H, I was a community leader for 16 years.
We have the old Edwards County Atlas over there. Did
yes.
Welcome, had one show you.
We haven't seen that, but we do have it at the library.
Yeah.
So, you see where you were. Show me where your farm is at, okay?
Okay.
I was going to ask you something else too. Oh, did you have any help with your children?
His mother was a nurse, and she was busy most of the time, so very seldom had anyone to leave the children with. Where I went, they went.
How was it living on the same place as your in-laws? Were they here?
They were here, and we were across the road. Okay, it was fine. Mm-hmm. His father was in very poor health, and so it was good for us to be close.
Did they ever actually live here?
Or neighbors, and we used to get together with our neighbors and play cards a lot. And I'd take the kids, put them down to bed, and they'd go to sleep, and we'd carry them out and put them in the car and come home.
I can remember my parents doing the same thing.
Yeah.
We were sleeping on a bed with all the coats.
Right. Right. I guess it was all good. We were really busy, especially with 4-H, and then when the kids got up in high school, there was one year that our son was on the basketball team, and our next, our oldest daughter was a cheerleader for junior high, and our youngest daughter was cheerleader for the grade school. So we had to go to all the grade school, all the junior high, and all the high school games, and that kept us busy.
And what schools did your children attend?
Well, they went to grade school at Truesdale, and then when they went to Truesdale and Belfry merged, and they went to Belfry, and the two oldest graduated from Belfry, and our youngest daughter graduated from Maxville. She went there 2 years.
Changes back there with the schools. You kept merging together.
A lot of changes, right.
Is that what they called the Sun City Road?
It was a busy time, but it was a good time. Forward to it. One thing that they remember is that their dad would take them and go over to the shelter belt and get a tree. We always had a tree that touched the ceiling. We had 9-foot ceilings in the old house.
You have a taller one and this year.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that kids remember is their dad going to the shelter belt and getting a Christmas tree.
Did you celebrate Christmas Eve or Christmas Day?
Christmas Day. Christmas morning and Christmas Day. Oh, yes. Usually chicken and all the trimmings.
But are you in there?
Didn't have turkeys back then much. We usually had chicken.
Yeah. Do you remember since you've been here about any blizzards or droughts or anything? We'll get to the tornado in a minute.
Well, I remember some snowstorms when the snow was piled up down here on the parallel about 10 foot high. We haven't had snows like that around here for a long time now, but I can remember a lot of heavy, heavy snows, and the electricity would go off and be off. There was one snowstorm that we lost everything in our freezers. We took it out and buried it in the snow, thinking maybe it would keep, but we lost everything. We were without electricity for over a week. We just stayed home.
Just stayed home.
Yep.
Well, how much land did your dad actually end up owning? That's what you just what you showed me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Granddad had that half second across the road and then and a quarter here.
Okay. Now the tree claim you
Jose George?
Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at these dead trees here and the dead cottonwoods along here that the storm didn't get to. He planted those. So those trees were.
Can we get the mic back to him or get him back up in the chair?
This is Township 25.
Here,
is that? Range 16.
I think she wants to.
Yeah, otherwise.
So. tree claim was right on here, on this, down in here?
No, right there.
Right there?
Yeah.
What is it?
That's the parallel, right?
No, this is the parallel.
This is the parallel.
Mile
north of the parallel. Okay. And this is Truesdale where the school is at?
No, that's...
That's Felton.
That's the Lakeview.
Lakeview.
The country
okay.
school. Truesdale will be on here.
Where's Truesdale?
Be section...
I go there.
Be right in here somewhere. See...
Wouldn't have been on this map.
Yeah. Truesdale not on there, no, because this is 1906.
Mm-hmm.
But see, these sections here had...
all of this is true.
You'll see, instead of 640 acres, 850 acres.
This Prattsburg.
Prattsburg post office there.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you ever go down to the Rattlesnake and go fishing, or was that too far away for you to go?
Well, usually there wasn't enough water in there to fish.
Oh, okay. So.
But I think they used to, before all the ground was broke out, the creek used to run quite a bit, and you could fish there then. Dad said they'd gone down in the wintertime and fished through the ice. And they'd cut a hole in the ice, and some of them go down one way and some down the other, and then stomp on it and drive the fish up there. And as they'd go by, they'd throw them out with a pitchfork.
Really?
You know, they'd be in the cold water, they'd be swimming real slow.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd
is that catfish and carp?
Mainly carp, I think.
But it was edible, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you change of diet.
Yeah. So do you have like any sandhill plums or anything around here that you would have fruit?
Yeah, most of the sandhills had sandhill plums on them, and maybe a bunch of quail in them. So there was a lot of hunting, but there wasn't any pheasants then. They were all prairie chickens. And they had a lot of prairie chickens. Dad said they ate prairie chickens as they got sick of them. They couldn't stand them.
And there were a lot of rabbits, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose so. He never mentioned about rabbits, but prairie chickens were thick enough. He said that they'd come in the feedlot and eat there, and they'd hide in the sod stable to shoot them, and he said they wouldn't shoot them until they get three of them lined up in a row. Well,
can you get up?
The shot and the powder was pretty hard to get.
Okay.
Well, we heard her side of the story about coming out here. Now, how did you entice her to come out?
Well, that wasn't hard to do. She wanted to come out. She ditched all her old boyfriends and decided on me, and she came out. I wasn't farming much anymore, and so my children never had the opportunity to help. I started working over to Cross Manufacturing and worked over there for a while at Lewis.
Then did you lease the land, or?
Well, gradually, yeah, we did. After we put down irrigation, we leased the ground. But I worked at Red Crosses for 22 years, and Betty got a job in the post office and worked there for 10 years, and she made twice as much money in 10 years as I did in 22.
Now, which post office?
I worked as a postmaster relief at Truesdale for several years, and also at Fellsburg for Irene Owens. And then they needed somebody at Byers, and Byers was third class, and I'd always worked fourth class for $1.25 an hour. And when I went to Byers, that put me into career. So then they, the postmaster at Belpre was going to retire, so they asked me to come up there. So I was a relief for Belpre and Byers for 2 years. And when she retired, I applied for the job and got it. And I was already on Social Security when I started being postmaster up there at Belpre. I went to work full time the year he retired. Did that tell you anything? And then I was postmaster up there for 10 years and retired in 91.
People didn't have too many of them that did just one job. They worked wherever they needed them, just working around here and there. I run the lathes quite a little bit, and so did a lot of other people.
What does cross, to get it on the tape, what does cross manufacturing manufacture?
They're manufacturing hydraulic cylinders, and they still do. And they had a good cylinder that was a pretty good cylinder and a lot cheaper than others. So they sold a lot of them.
Was it because of a steady income, or why did you go from farming to doing that?
Because we wasn't making enough money here on the farm to live. So went over there and didn't make a whole lot more over there.
But it was easier?
Well, it wasn't any easier, but it was cash money. But it was about, what was the take-home pay? It was about $55 a week, something like that.
But then you got raises and it improved.
Not much.
When you finished, what was the pay? Before you retired?
I don't remember. I don't even have any records of what it was. But eventually, finally did get some raises. But, it was a pretty good place to work. Of course, it's all inside. And Cross is a pretty nice guy to work for. I'll let Betty tell that.
Well, we had the warning on the TV that the tornado was at Greensburg and it was headed towards Truesdale. And I wanted to go in the little bathroom because they always say go to the smallest room in the house. And he said, no, if that big cottonwood tree south of the house falls, it's going to fall right on the house. Well, we had a big oak tree just on the north side of the garage, a huge oak tree, and never even thought about it falling. So he said, let's go out and get in the car in the garage. I think we'll be safer. Well, about that time, the electricity went off, so we didn't have any television to watch. So we went out and got in the car, and the only thing I took with me was my purse, because I had quite a bit of money in my purse, and I took my purse with me. Well, we just sat there, and we knew the wind was blowing. We couldn't hear a roar or anything, but the car shook several times, and then a 2x6 from the roof of the garage fell on the windshield and cracked the windshield right in front of where I was sitting. And we heard several others fall, and so we knew something was going on. When it was all over, our son lives just down the hill from us. He came up and he said, "Well, the windmill tower is gone, and the big oak tree is gone." And that oak tree fell straight east, and the big cottonwood tree that he thought would fall on the house fell straight west. Neither one of them hit the house. In fact, if it hadn't been for the windmill tower twisting and coming through the ceiling, we wouldn't have had any damage to our house at all. But it came through, and the gear head was hanging down here in the dining room. And we had just put down new carpeting last February, and of course it's got oil all over the carpet, and the floor is going to pieces, and it just missed my china cabinet that had all my crystal from my wedding and all that stuff in it. Just missed it by 6 inches. And I had potted petunias and dianthus out here on the deck. Never even took a petal off of them. Nothing. But it took all the trees along that driveway out south that either took them up by the roots or took the tops out of them. And down west, the trees are just tangled up in a mess. All different directions, and no rhyme or reason to it at all. I'd have been glad if they had taken this old house over here, but it didn't. Shifted it on the foundation a little bit. But it didn't damage our house, and it didn't damage our son's home down here. Yeah. We were lucky.
Right, that old oak tree was planted by your grandfather?
No. No, it was one squirrel planted over here.
Oh, that wasn't that old, huh?
But it was a huge tree.
About so big around. But the storm that comes from the south, and 2 miles, a mile and a half south of here, everything went north, but here, everything went every direction. It evidently was, or there might have been more than one storm. I don't know, and it tangled, got this whole mile of high line here. This is transmission line, too. They had to replace every pole and a lot of the wire, and so. A lot of that fell east.
We couldn't even get out to the road for 4 days. Our kids came out from Hutchinson to help, and they had to park down here on the parallel and walk up the house because the wires were down. And
that's a quarter of a mile.
Those, so you know, there wasn't much wind blowing through the house at all, and we didn't get much dust in the house. And like those plants out there, it never even blew petals off them, but it tore all the trees up right by the roots, you know. And there's some that the roots come out, and there's a, say, like from here to the ceiling, would be that much root and dirt. Not all of them like that, but a couple of them about like that.
Just
laid them over.
Unbelievable.
But you'd think with a big tree down out there and one here that the plants right there would have the petals off them, but they were just as pretty as could be when injured a bit. And of course, as soon as we got electricity back, by everything in the house worked. One new thing for some of the other people, it swept the whole house away, you know, just cleaned it.
Yeah, not that far.
Just around the corner over there, they're just getting some dirt on their house.
And Welch's are 3 miles south. They just cleaned theirs off to the floor. Even took, it wasn't anything left of the bathroom. It was, even took the stool and everything off.
And they have never found one piece of furniture or anything.
Big appliances, you know.
They may find things when they plow next spring.
I think these probably the shoulder beds around probably have a lot of stuff in them. We
first things your grandfather did was build a nice barn?
Well, that was just a little shed is what it was. The first thing they had to do was put down a well for water.
Yeah.
Had to have water. And so I suppose they lived out of their wagons. And of course, then, the closest thing was Larned, about 25 miles. And they had to bring everything down from there, lumber and stuff. It was quite a few years before the railroad come through Belfry.
How long was the side of the house, the side barn, or is it still there?
I don't have any idea. I never did see it.
You never saw it? Okay.
It was gone. But there were a few sod buildings around, my dad said. But not too many, I guess, here.
And then they built a regular big barn? Did you have?
Yeah, they built a fair side barn. Well, it was big enough for stalls for about seven teams of horses, I guess. That'd be 14 horses. And a harness room, too. And then with a hay mow above it.
And that was fun getting that hay up there and that thing, right?
It must have been, yeah. But they said from that, when they, after they left Larned to come this way, it wasn't any place that was inhabited that had trees that weren't big enough yet for shade. They were just like large sunflowers and all. So there was no tree in sight, you might say. But a lot of plum bushes. A lot of the sand hills had plum bushes on them, and so they had wild plums for fruit. Well, the Indians were gone for quite a few years.
He found a lot of Indian arrowheads and broken chips and stuff on a big hill out here west on our ground. So the Indians evidently had used that tall hill for a lookout or something.
No, I think there was some. Of course, there's plum bushes on there or something to hide in, and then. Down the lower ground, there were some buffalo wallows that would hold water once in a while. And so game would stop there. Since there was no creek, game would come to the buffalo wallows for water, and they could hunt up there. But mainly, most of the arrowheads we found were what they called bird points. Those were shooting quail and prairie chicken. Prairie chickens were thick. It was a good many years, probably 50 years, I suppose, before they were imported pheasants and brought them in. And now you don't see any prairie chickens here now.
You know why? I never thought about that.
Well, they're prairie chickens were, like the country was then, open prairie. And
it's just to cultivate.
And when they started cultivating, the prairie chickens couldn't take it. They had to move.
There were years when it was pretty rough, but we've had a good life. Looking back on it, why, I feel like we've had a good, full life.
We've got a lot of good neighbors, but most of them are all gone now.
Are you glad to have lived in this place during this time?
Yes. It's been a wonderful community to live in. Cruisdale community is really a good place to call home.
Most of them are left here now. From the older families, or third and going on to the fourth generation, I suppose. But most of them have just gone someplace else.
And you have a son here, and so this property will still stay in the family?
Yeah.
Hopefully. We're the oldest ones in the community now. We'll both of us be 89 this fall.
Well, you're doing great.
We're lucky to have each other.
Yes. And you're both very sharp.
Yeah.
You still can remember things. We can't. You have to write everything down. Well, I can't think of it.
You've got a computer to refer to.
Wait, that's probably why we don't have any minds, because we rely on that. That's what we're putting.
I forget names sometimes, and I'll wake up in the middle of the night and remember them.